sure you spotted my, wasn't even a deliberate mistake, but to apologise. It's gentleness that we're going to be looking at tonight. Goodness is next week. We look forward to Brother David's comments on that subject. And he has asked that we take a reading from Galatians chapter 5 to introduce his remarks to us. So, Epistle of Paul to the Ecclesias in Galatia, and we'll be reading the 5th chapter. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offence of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfil the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So with that reading, then it's much pleasure then to ask David to speak to us upon this subject, this lovely subject of gentleness.
Well, a very good evening to all my beloved brothers and sisters in the hope we share. As Brother Martin said, tonight we're looking at gentleness, born of the fruit, not fruits of the Spirit, in verse 22 of Galatians chapter 5. It begins in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we know how important that word is to God and Jesus. God is described as a God of love. Jesus was the Son of God's love. And declares himself that the world may know that I love the Father. It's the first and second great commandment. We have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and with all our minds, with all our beings. And the second, that we love our neighbour as ourselves. It's that agape love that God looks for in us. The breaking of bread is a feast of love, there to remind us of what has been done for us, that we never forget. And we're told to examine ourselves continually. In 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter of love, as it's sometimes called, we have there in verses 1 to 3, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, reading verses 1 to 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Now that's a list of things that are really good in themselves, and ones that in the world we live in, you would be put on the highest pedestal. But as the apostle says, without love, it profiteth me nothing. In our reading, we have that verse in verse 13. By love, serve one another. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And when faith and hope are gone, when the kingdom is established, love will continue. In verses 4 to 8 in 1 Corinthians 13, we have a similar list to that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, there are 9 things mentioned. Now, if love is a fruit of the Spirit, the other 8 are attributes which link, bind, become one thing, one body as a whole. It's like throwing a pebble in a still pond, and eventually those ripples fill the whole pond. And we know that they're readily found in our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who portrayed the character, the will of his heavenly Father so beautifully. Now these attributes are not the only ones we have to strive to put on. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 urges us from reading from verse 10 to verse 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And can't we see that ever prevalent in the age in which we live? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Again, in Peter's second epistle, chapter 2, I'm reading Peter's second epistle, chapter 1, I'm reading verses 1 to 8. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Now there are more passages we could go to. We could go to Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And there's a theme that runs through them, and that's of choices. We can follow one way or another way, the broad way which leads to destruction or the narrow way which leads to life. We can either serve God or mammon. So there's that constant battle. Paul tells us that it's a warfare with our old self, our old life. Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 25. I know we've been to some of these passages through the course of our deliberations in looking at these fruits of the Spirit, brethren and sisters, but it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now it's a daunting prospect, brothers and sisters, to put on some of these things, let alone all of them. And the present speaker falls far short. But it doesn't mean I give up and throw in the towel. I have to keep trying, replacing that far, far longer list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. They're readily accessible. And they occupy those places ready to come to the fall. Because we're told that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart is only evil continually. Jeremiah confirms it, if you'd like to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And verse mine. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, God knows. He knows our frame. He knows everything about us. That we deserve death. But God, as I've already mentioned, is a God of love. He's gentle. He's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and who is willing to forgive us if we truly follow him. And in verse 10 of Jeremiah 17, we read these words. I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So, what fruit we bring forth, brethren and sisters, will determine whether we are greeted with, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, obviously the fruit of the Spirit, or depart from me, I never knew you. That's the fruit of the flesh. And we are told plainly at the end of verse 21 of Galatians chapter 5, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So where do we put on these things? And more importantly, keep them on. Well, that word putting on, brothers and sisters, has the idea to wrap oneself with a garment, sink into something, as a setting as the sun. So it speaks to me as something permanent, something that's lovely. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we're told that that word abideth forever. At our baptisms, we gave a public confession of our faith that we believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and of the things concerning the kingdom. Then we were given a few words of good advice, if we remember them. I know now that everything's recorded. As we start our walk to the kingdom, we do it with zeal. But how quickly can that wane, that our feet start slipping? If we haven't got our brethren and sisters to help and guide us, those role models who have learned from their own experiences, and how important it is to meet regularly, one with another, for fellowship, as Brother Martin said in his prayer, attending the Sunday morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time of day, the memorial services or the public lecture, Bible class, and any other event that may be going on. These are all sources of helping us to keep aiming for our goal of a place in the kingdom. And we need our brethren and sisters to help us on that way. Then there are the constant prayers to our Heavenly Father, and most of all the reading of the Word and meditating upon it. In the Word we read of the great men and women of faith, the promises, and the plan and purpose. We have the Apostle Paul, that one who persecuted any of that way, that one who said of himself he was born out of due time, who was the least of the apostles, and yet one who asks us to follow him because he follows Christ's example, the greatest role model ever. So we can see how important we are to each other. And how important the things we do are. Just like the fruit of the Spirit. At the head is love, and the rest are all qualities, each one reinforcing the other. So what about gentleness, brothers and sisters? How does that help us in our walk to the kingdom? Well, the Oxford Dictionary says of gentleness, one, that it's the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. Two, softness of action or effect, for example, the effect of lightness, the gentleness of his touch, the gentleness of the terrain, obviously with a gradual incline. And then three, it goes on about archaic, a courteous or chivalrous nobility attributed to a noble birth. In Strong's Concordance, there are four references to gentleness, two in the Old Testament and two in the New. The ones in the Old Testament deal with the same event. If you'd like to go back to 2 Samuel, chapter 22. I'm reading verses 31 to 37. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. Now this is a psalm of David thanking God for delivering him from all his enemies. It's in Psalm 18 is the other reference, and the similar words, it's just going over about the same thing. Thy gentleness have made me great. Thy ways have made me great. Strong says of gentleness in these two passages, as to I, heed, respond, pay attention, humble, meekness, lowly. We know David did all these things, as we've been going through our readings lately. And because he did these things to the people, I think we've got one in our reading for today, haven't we? In 2 Kings, let's read the opening verses of our reading for today, 2 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. We know David showed this in his life to the people around him. And that's why God reciprocated that by looking after him. And we know that he was called a man after God's own heart. It was David's love of God that ultimately led to the way he lived his life. The two references in the New Testament are found in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. I'd like to turn there. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. And also in our reading. In the 2 Corinthians, Strong describes gentleness as equity, mildness, patient. Resemble, be like, representation, and clemency, as it's used in Acts 24. And Acts 24, verse 4. Strong says of gentleness in Galatians 5, verse 22, that its usefulness, excellent in character and demeanour, kindness, employed, act in a given manner. So I ask you, how have we acted today, brothers and sisters? How have we acted since we last met around the table of remembrance? Have we shown gentleness to our brothers and sisters, and more so those who we meet? We should, brethren and sisters. We're employed in the service of our Master. In the employment we have in the world, we show our employers what they want from us, don't we? Even more so, we should do that of the living God. We haven't got the physical sign of the hole in the ear where the oar was put through to show the love of the servant to his master, wife and his children. But we should show that in the lives we lead. Gentleness is also translated as meekness, not weakness. And we see the Apostle Peter, in his letters, he tells us, 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or way of life and godliness? So the way we live should show people that we are the Lord's. Back to 1 Peter 1, verses 14 to 16, to continue this theme. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, way of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Also in 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, way of life, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And also 1 Peter 3, verses 13 to 16. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or way of life in Christ. Now, Peter learned from his mistake, brethren and sisters. We know he denied his Lord three times, to truly loving him and following him, even to death. He wasn't weak, but strong in those things he believed in, as was the Apostle Paul. And we see he also learned from his experiences. from the way Paul answered people after his conversion. Do you think Paul would listen to the pleas of the people when he was hunting them down? I don't think so. But after his conversion, look how he goes about his work in the truth. Acts chapter 9, after his conversion. Straight away, he goes about and preaches Christ. Reading verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is, not was, that he is the Son of God. But for a better example, Acts 17, but we're not going to spend too much time in it. Verses 17 to 31, we know it well. And we see Paul appealing in gentleness to the Athenians. He didn't just jump straight in, accusing them of all sorts to get their backs up. We could go to Proverbs 15, verses 1 to 4, about the soft answer. He clearly took into account the background and situation of the people with their many gods. He started at the similar starting point, and that they were very religious, and then proceeded to comment on the one altar he had seen with the inscription to the unknown God, verse 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. This was a gentle way of easing the people out of the idea of many gods and into the idea of the true God. Even though some mocked, in verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. But look how others reacted, carrying on reading. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, albeit certain men clave unto him and believed. So what an example that is, brethren and sisters. Start off in a similar point and then proceed through. But as there are good examples to learn from, there are also bad examples to learn from, that we avoid doing them. And this comes from the two disciples named the Sons of Thunder. Jesus and the disciples, in their travels on their way to Jerusalem, they tried to pass through a Samaritan village, and they wouldn't let them. So James and John, without thinking it through, said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elijah did? See, they'd missed the point. Elijah was waiting for the humbleness, meekness, gentleness of the captain's plea. We know how Jesus responded to them. He rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, to save as many as I can. And I'm sure they learned from this lesson. So these examples we have briefly looked at have shown us how we can put on the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness to the world is typically regarded as something that is weak, mild, or non-assertive. But as we've seen from the people who put it on, it's the very opposite. We see it in an entirely different way. Being active in God's word requires the strength of self-control, thoughtfulness, tact, and concern And here we see that missing in the political leaders of the world today. We need God's Son to quickly come and set up that kingdom, when righteousness, peace and gentleness and all the other fruit of the Spirit will be the order of the day. So let's follow our Saviour more closely in the days that remain. Let us not be entangled, as we went through that reading, the first verse told us, entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But do as Jesus said. And for our last quotation, we go to Matthew chapter 11 and reading verses 28 to the end of the chapter. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Truly learn, not just listen, but learn of me. For I am meek, or gentle and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, even though it may seem hard. Christ's yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thank you for listening.